This meeting is being recorded.
Thank you very much for this meeting being recorded. Okay, I'm going to call this meeting to order, and we'll have an inspiration from Carolyn. You ready for that one?
I am.
Okay, let's do it.
Coming in through my hearing aids.
Okay, today is a new beginning with many new people, new president, etc., and we're really happy for that. We genuinely appreciate everyone for stepping up. This reminds me of the first song from my favorite musical, Hamilton. And it says, I'm not going to throw away my shot. I'm not going to throw away my shot. Hey, I'm just like my country. I'm young, scrappy, and hungry, and I'm not going to throw away my shot. As leaders, each of us has a shot, an opportunity to contribute and help and make meaningful and positive changes. A friend of mine and I were on a state board at one time, and people kept saying, we want your input. And I liked it when she said, I don't want to have input. I want to have influence. May each of us have influence to help our organization help as many seniors as possible. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Carolyn. That was very inspirational. And I like the fact you start out with us being young. That's always a positive start.
Did I say?
Okay. I will do the pledge. If you're able to rise, please rise. And Desiree, we got a flag. Well, I say that respectfully now, John, respectfully. Okay. Please join me as we renew our pledge to the most visible sign of freedom. I pledge allegiance to the flag
of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, colleagues. Please be seated. I just got to chime in here. I got a new flagpole out front, and it's so cool. It's huge. All my neighbors are commenting on it. Oh, yeah, we love it. I look out my neighbor across the street. I look out my door in the laundry room, and I see that flag, and it's inspirational. That's pretty cool. All right, let's do it with the roll call now. Desiree, I understand you're going to do it, and not Carolyn. Is that accurate?
Correct.
Okay, go for it.
Charlene Ashendorf.
Present.
Linda Barcelona.
Present.
Denise Barnes.
Present.
Laval Brewer. Elizabeth Busick.
Present.
Amelia Castro. Jerry Chang.
Present.
Colette Chensisky.
Present.
Meredith Chalemi.
Present.
Elaine Genoway. Jean Hernandez.
Present.
Ken Higman.
Here.
Carolyn Inman.
Present.
Jim Levy. Crystal Miles.
Present.
Paula Morales. Patty Mouton.
Present.
Joni Nichols.
Present.
Rachel Owens.
Present.
John Pointer.
Present.
Tony Rodella.
Hurrah.
Jeffrey Rodriguez. Amina Sen Matthews.
Present.
Barbara Slope.
Present.
Sandy Stang.
Present.
Dave Sullivan.
Present.
Dave Tetzloff.
Present.
Evelyn Velez.
Present.
And Dave Wheeler.
Here.
And we do have quorum, Chair.
Excellent. Thank you. And thank you, colleagues, for taking time out of your busy schedules to join us here this morning so we can take care of some business. I promise I won't keep you long. Okay, we go to our action. Oh, well, a reminder, by the way, that Carolyn wants to make sure that we get our service hours in on the form that she provides. And again, all you got to do is put the number in there and send it in. You don't need to run it down anything. In fact, Carolyn, can you send that out again maybe to us? Some may not have gotten that.
Yes, and it does say in the top, the summary total hours is at the top. And then it says very clearly optional. So the part where you fill out where you went and what you did specifically, that is right. Now optional.
Right.
So now please, we'll send it out and then email it to me and I'll be keeping track.
Excellent, Carolyn. Thank you so much. Okay. First action item here, number 5, AB 361 review and make findings required by government code subsection 54953E3. We're all very familiar with this by now, I think. Okay, so the recommendation is continue virtual meetings due to the proclaimed state of the emergency arising from COVID-19. Meeting in person presents imminent risk to the health and safety of attendees, and the emergency continues to directly impact the ability of the members to meet safely in person. So that's the agenda. I believe it's for the last time for February.
Chair?
Yes.
We do have an alternative, though, that people should know about when they're voting for meeting in person in February at Easter Seals.
Yes, please. You want to elaborate on that, Meredith, by the way, more than just that. Just that, yeah, we've already made arrangements for a meeting in February at the Easter Seals in person. And that's going to be our location in the future where we will meet, essentially located for everyone. And it'll be the same place. So we're not going to be making moves around the county. So voting on this, well, even if we say yes, we can still meet in person, can we not? Desiree?
No, if the majority votes for virtual in February, we need to do virtual. If we do have quorum for that vote.
Okay. So if you would like to meet in person at Easter Seals, then you would vote no.
That's correct. Okay, who's taking role on this? Desiree, are you going to do that?
That's me. We just need a motion and a second.
Sullivan,
I shall move.
Second.
Second.
Okay. Charlene Ashendorf?
No.
Linda Barcelona?
I saw her on here. I know Linda's with us.
She answered in roll call also, but I'll come back to her. Denise Barnes?
No.
Laval Brewer? Elizabeth Busick?
No.
Amelia Castro? Jerry Chang?
No.
Colette Chensinski, I'm sorry, I'll get that right.
No, you got it totally right.
Okay.
I guess it's no.
Meredith Shalemi?
No.
Elaine Genoway? Jean Hernandez?
No.
Ken Higman?
Where is the Easter Seals location? I was curious.
It's right at the corner. It's like three cities, Costa Mesa, Irvine, and Santa Ana. It's right off the freeway, real close, freeway close.
Oh, okay. It sounds like right now everybody says no, so I'll do that as well, but I'm open to either. So count me as a no.
Thank you. Carolyn Inman?
No.
Jim Levy? Crystal Miles?
No.
Paolo Morales? Patty Mouton?
No.
Joni Nichols? Joni,
I feel
Nichols?
Like I'm voting on the propositions. Honest, I was paying attention. But if I don't want to go to Easter Seals, am I yes or am I no?
You're a yes if you don't want to go to Easter Seals.
You're a yes for virtual or a no?
I'm a still virtual. Yes.
John Pointer?
Yes.
Tony Rodella? Tony Rodella?
No.
Thank you. Jeffrey Rodriguez. Amina Sen Matthews.
Yes.
Barbara Sloat.
No.
Sandy Stank.
No.
Dave Sullivan.
Yes.
Dave Tetzloff.
No.
Evelyn Velez.
No, but I may not be able to make February 10th.
Thank you. And Dave Wheeler.
No.
And the majority is for no.
Desiree, you did not ask me.
I'm sorry, your name?
Rachel Owens.
Oh, Rachel, I skipped you.
You did?
I'm sorry.
I'm a no.
No? Okay. Thank you.
And is this the office on McGaw?
I think it is. Isn't that the where it's at, Meredith, we'll get that address out.
I don't have it handy. We'll send it to you.
Yeah, we'll make sure everybody gets it.
Their office is right off the 55 freeway. I believe it's the Dyer Road exit or close by there, but the address will help.
Yeah, definitely. But let me see.
Is it Irvine?
I think it is.
I think it is Irvine address. The very tip of Irvine.
Right. That says Hawthorne Boulevard. I mean, I'm sorry, that says McGaw Avenue. Well,
that's it. Yeah, that's the address.
This is Amelia. I just joined the call. Student's office.
All right, Amelia, thanks for joining us. We just took the vote and it passed on. We are going to meet in person at Easter Seals in Irvine. We'll get the address out to everybody, make sure everybody gets the address. It's a freeway close, so I'm pretty central. I'd have preferred Yorba Linda, but I got massive nose. Okay, John, yes.
So, Mr. Chair, what we have just agreed to is that even if the emergency order at the federal and state level, the federal level is extended, right?
Extended for 1 month.
The state level expires the 28th, and if the governor extends it to be in compliance with the federal emergency order, we're saying we're still going to meet in person.
You mean after February into March, April, all the way across the month, the year?
Yeah, we have to vote each month. So
yeah, right, we'll vote again.
Federal and state order for emergency procedures is in place. It doesn't expire until the end of February.
But so they've given us the option, John. They've given us the option to vote. If they mandated it, we wouldn't be voting.
Right.
Mm-hmm. If it was mandated, we wouldn't be voting.
Okay. So is there going to be a provision for those of us that will not be able to attend in person?
Mm-mm. Not at this point. We don't have dual zooming capabilities, I don't believe. We'll table that, John, and look into that, see if we can accommodate that.
Thank you.
Sandy, I see you've got your hand up and you're muted.
I show the address as 1063 McGaw Avenue, Irvine, 92614.
That is correct.
Okay.
But we'll get that out again. Did I see any other hands up? I don't think so. Okay. If you would lower your hand when you're there, you go. John, you still got your hand up?
Sorry, Gene.
No problem. Okay, let's go on to introductions. Jeanette, I believe we've got a new player on board to help us, and we're very pleased with that. And I just saw her picture here. Where did she run to? Let me see here.
Yeah, she's here. Thank you so much, Chair. So good morning, everyone. My name is Jeanette Rivia. I'm from the Office on Aging, and I'm pleased to inform you all that we have several new members of our management team, including a new director, new leader, joining us today. And I would like to introduce them to the group and Office on Aging managers and Claudia, if you guys don't mind taking turns introducing yourself. So I will start with our new director. Her name is Claudia Harris. So Claudia, the floor is yours.
Thank you. Good morning. Good morning, council members. A pleasure to be here. I am Claudia Harris, a new director here at Office on Aging. And I am very much excited, was looking forward to today's meeting, to meeting all the wonderful, beautiful faces and a lot of engagement at our Senior Citizens Advisory Council here. And a little bit about me, I do come from the Office on Aging, spent a little over 16 years for the San Bernardino County Office on Aging, very much integrated with the adult programs as well. So dabble into quite a bit of adult programs in addition to our Older American Act programs, grants, and initiatives within that county. So I am in transition back into Orange County, where I was raised, and very much excited to be here and now be part of the Orange County Office on Aging team. I had a pleasure of meeting all the wonderful staff and all the wonderful managers that have been doing great work, but now I get to meet all of you and all your advocacy and all your passion towards services for our older adults here in the Orange County area. Very much excited. I want to thank you. I look forward to definitely getting to know you all and moving forward our efforts as we also, you know, come together to push for a local master plan on aging and doing wonderful work for our area plan as we start preparations for that. So my doors are open. I will sure share email with you so that you know how to reach me. Thank you so much. And as we resume, I hear all the votes, the in-person, I'm looking forward to meeting all of you in person as well. So thank you very much for having me. Thank you for today's time. I am going to piggyback to one of our new managers also on board, not you with our county. However, you'll see a lot of her. Her name is Pauline Colvin. Pauline, I know I saw you here in the room.
I'm here.
Pauline joins us from Orange County. I'm sure you have met her. I think a lot of you may have already met her in her previous role. So I'm going to go ahead and hand the floor over to Pauline.
Thank you, Claudia. As Claudia said, I'm Pauline Colvin. I came from Supervisor Bartlett's office, where I was her policy advisor on senior matters and veterans. And many of you may have seen me at various meetings. I was the one that took your recommendations to the supervisor for bridging the digital divide and helped secure some of this iPads. For seniors, and also helped with the nutrition gap programs. I'm very excited to be now permanently with the Office on Aging. Look forward to working with you all individually and as committees. And I will also send you my email address. If you ever have any questions on anything, please do not hesitate to reach out to me. Looking forward to working with Claudia between both of us and the entire team here. We're here to support you. And look forward to getting your input and your recommendations moving forward. So that's it in a nutshell for me.
Thank you so much, Pauline. So I will turn the floor over to a couple more new members of our management team. We have Farah Lawless. Farah, go for it.
Hello, everyone. I think you guys have probably met me before from a lot of the other meetings. I did start here. I'm new in my position as an administrative manager. Previous to that, I was in a temporary role. So I'm excited to be on board with our wonderful team here, our new director and our managers who have been so supporting of me throughout my journey here. And I look forward to working, continue to working with the all of our SCAC members. So thank you.
Thank you, Farah. I'm sorry, I have two more genes, sorry.
Go ahead, no problem, Jeanette.
So thank you so much. And so now we also have we want to introduce another new manager to everyone, and his name is Lauren. So Lauren, please go for it.
Hello, everyone. My name is Lauren Belardes. Thank you so much for inviting us here today. I very much appreciate the opportunity to learn. I've been with the Office on Aging for a whole 2 months now. It's been a big learning process for me. Before this, I was with Kern County Employers Training Resource. I did contract monitoring for workforce development. So all of this is new to me, but I'm loving being here in Orange County. I'm loving learning so much from the team here. Jeanette's been very great. I'm excited to work with the rest of the team as well. We have a new director as she introduced herself. So it's exciting to be here. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you, Lauren.
Thank you, Lauren. And last but not least, we have a returning manager that rejoined our group. I know some of you already know her, but I wanted to take the time to reintroduce her to everyone and introduce her to all the new members of the group. We have Erin Uliberry. Erin.
Hi, good morning, everyone. Yes, like Jeanette said, I was previously with the Office on Aging. I know, of course, many of you and worked with many of you over the years in the various roles that I've had at the Office on Aging. So it's great to see everybody again, reconnect. And I look forward to, again, working with everybody as we move forward. And it's great to see everybody. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Erin. And thank you, Chair, for allowing us to introduce all our new members. I know it's a lot, but
Jeanette, this is fabulous. Do you know how long we've gone without these members? So it's wonderful to see the support that will be available now and see the some familiar faces. Erin, good to have you back again. We worked quite closely through over the years. So, and Lauren also, good to have all you guys back. And Lauren, I know you're new, but I'll tell you what, it's always nice to see younger people here too. That really, it kind of encourages us. Okay. So, all right. Now with that,
Patty Mattoon just joined us.
Yeah, I got back. I was bumped off.
Oh, okay. Good. Well, now, Meredith, you want to introduce presentation?
Excuse me, Gene?
Oh, hey, yes, Dave.
I'm not sure where I'm supposed to chime in, but I'm also new.
Oh, new? You mean new to our group or not new to the staff?
New to the group.
Welcome, Dave. Yes, Dave Wheeler is new for us, Laguna Hills. Dave, you're the mayor of Laguna Hills, correct?
I'm mayor pro tem right now.
And, I had the pleasure of spending all day yesterday with Dave, I think.
Yeah, we about 12 hours in education and the introduction to all things familiar and unfamiliar in the county.
Well, welcome on board, Dave. Dave is very much he'll contribute quite a bit. He'll ask the right questions, so we appreciate that. All right, back to our vice chair, Meredith.
I'm sorry to interrupt. Since everyone that's new is speaking up, I'm new as well. This is my first time here at the meeting.
Oh, well, welcome, Ken. Yeah, we have anybody else that I miss who's brand new?
This is Colette. I'm new too.
Okay, we're going to lose Meredith real quick. Meredith, can you introduce the speaker? You do not have time. Oh, I think Meredith has just jumped off, or she's jumping off.
I'm sorry, I do have to go. I look forward to reviewing the PowerPoint, and Happy New Year, everyone.
Thanks, Meredith. Appreciate it. Take care. Okay, well, I'll introduce our program. We're going to do, and a lot of you have been asking questions about, okay, especially for our new folks, so this is good that we've got you guys, you know, Ken and Dave. What is SCAC? What's the orientation? Where does that come from? What is the Office on Aging? So we're going to try to answer, we will answer those questions right now with Erin, who has a really nice PowerPoint. I've seen this over the years. At the start of every year, we try to do this of, refresh us. What is this again? How does this work? How are we connected? What's the structure? All of that hopefully will be covered for you here. So, Erin, please take it away.
Okay, great. I will. Let me go ahead and pull up the screen here. All right. So everybody can see that?
Yes. Thank you, Erin. We can.
Okay. Sure. Great. So like Gene had mentioned, this is a PowerPoint. Just every January, we do an orientation for the group. It's a good refresher for the continuing and old members, and a kind of, hopefully it'll be a good overview for all of you new members. So please ask any questions if you have any throughout it. Basically, we're going to go over, like Gene had mentioned, purpose of SCAC. Kind of the structure, responsibilities, what's expected. And then at the end, I will touch on Office on Aging, kind of what we do and our structure. So you'll get a little more familiar with the county end as well to understand kind of what we do. So, okay, so the purpose of SCAC is to basically advise the Board of Supervisors, our Office on Aging, OC Community Services, on things that impact seniors, to be advocates for the community, for seniors, work with service providers out in the community, to let us know what is happening out in the community, what impacts seniors, so that we can, as the office, advocate, make changes, implement programs that will be of benefit to the community at large. So the SCAC organization, it is mandated that every area agency on aging, which is for Orange County here, it's the Office on Aging, has an advisory council. So The Older Americans Act at the federal level mandates that. And then also the Older Californians Act also addresses having an advisory group for each AAA. And so laws, right, you know, define what what SCAC would do and can do. And if you want more information, you can see the links are there to each of those. And so you can go and review those. If you never have and want to, that's where you can get that information. So I wanted to just throw this, we've talked about over the years, seniors continue to be a growing population. That's why it's continuing to be a vital importance that you have a voice, that the the older adults in Orange County can provide input and advocate for any changes or anything that are needed in the community. And we continue, this is the latest information. We continue to see that older adults are a growing population. By 2060, the 65 plus population is going to be at 29%. We continue to see every year that the 65 plus continues to be the only group that is increasing. All of these other groups under 65 for Orange County are continuing to decrease when you're looking at the whole population. So it's why it's, of course, vitally important that we have you as a group and that you have the opportunity to provide feedback again on what what the needs are out in the community. So just as we go again, so just some basic information on SCAC. So SCAC is made up of 40 members. At least half have to be over 60. And then also overall, we have to maintain as close as we can the ethnic composition of Orange County. Every year as part of our area plan and our area plan updates, we have to report the ethnic composition of SCAC, and we have to compare it to Orange County. And so the goal is to have it as match as much as possible. And so, those are some of the reasons we ask those questions, especially on your application, because we do have to report it, and we have to report it every year. So again, of the 40 members.
Can I interrupt you a minute, Erin?
Yes, of course.
I don't think I've ever seen that report. Do we have a current copy of what our ratios are?
Yeah, we can pull it and look at it. Yeah. Yeah, it's in our area plan.
That'd be nice to report to our group. Yes.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, that's something we can pull. Yeah.
And Erin, this is Patty. Yeah. Could we get a copy of this PowerPoint?
Of course. Yes.
Thank you.
We will send it out after.
Marvelous.
Great. Okay. So positions. So again, of the 40 members, 10 are appointed by the Board of Supervisors. So each supervisor can appoint two from their district. We also have 10 members that come from city selection. And so those are appointed twice a year. Different city selection, the committee has the opportunity to fill any vacant positions. And then the remaining 20, of course, come from SCAC. So just general community members, people that that are want to be part of the group can apply. And you have, as a body, can appoint the remaining 20. Okay, so the structure of SCAC. So we do have the main council, which this is the main council. You have your executive committee made up of chair, vice chair, secretary, past chair, and then some members at large. And then there's the three standing committees. And so those are currently the well-being reimagined. You've got housing and transportation and the senior citizen engagement committee. So each main member is expected to be on a committee as well. So if you haven't chosen your committee, this is the time to be looking at that if you're a new member and select a committee that you'd want to be on. So just some responsibilities and different things that, as a SCAC
member. I'm sorry, Erin, another interjection here. Those committee names have changed, so we need to make sure we get the current.
These ones?
Oh, no, you got them, I think. Well, Housing and transportation, is that still what we're calling it? Okay,
according to the bylaws. Yeah, according to the bylaws.
Yep, we're good.
Yeah.
I know at some point we're going to talk about changing the term senior citizen engagement, but okay, thank you. Go ahead.
So again, so member responsibilities, like I said, you know, there is a monthly full council meeting as well as committee meetings. So the expectation is that you attend the full SCAC meeting and your standing committee meeting each month. And really it's just to be, we want, you know, just to, as a senior, as a committee member, to be a liaison between different groups out in the committee or in the community, your senior centers, your there are different organizations. Let people know that, let the community know that there is a advisory committee for older adults. Invite community members to the meeting so that they can other people can find out what's happening in the community, in the county, what you're doing as a advisory board, and how they can also maybe be involved. And providing input to our office and the Board of Supervisors, and just continuing to advocate for quality of life, Orange County seniors, providing that liaison between the community at large and then the county. Okay, a couple housekeeping items to hit on: attendance. So the rule, according to the bylaws, is that if you do not attend 3 consecutive regular meetings or half of the meetings in a calendar year, which for this council is 5, then you automatically vacate your position. So that's why it's so important to make sure that you are attending. We want to see you here. We want your input. And so we do need you to attend meetings if you are part of the council. And just if you are not going to be able to attend a meeting, to let the chair or the secretary know, and that needs to be done at the latest the day before the meeting. And the same goes with a committee meeting, the standing committee. Just a reminder, with our advocacy policies, the county has a ledge platform that they, as the Board of Supervisors, they are supporting legislation, either support, oppose certain legislation. And as an advisory board to the Board of Supervisors, you cannot go out and advocate as a SCAC member on your own. So really, if you want to support any kind of legislation, you do it as an individual community member and not a SCAC member. If we're doing anything, if SCAC is going to support any kind of legislation, it has to be approved by the board. So it's just important to, certainly you can go out and advocate for, different positions out, in the world, but it can't be done as a SCAC member. You just need to do it as a public citizen or a private citizen. And again, but we do encourage you to interact with elected officials. I mean, we've got several of elected officials yourselves, but just interact with your city, the county, different federal or different elected officials to, raise concerns about anything that are impacting seniors, to keep seniors and any kind of concerns in the forefront of elected officials' mind. But again, it's not from the standpoint of supporting or advocating for any particular legislation. It can just be just general concerns, or this is what's happening in my community, to make them aware of those types of concerns and situations. So just in general, some things to remember. The council is governed by its bylaws. So we do have our bylaws if you haven't read through them, please read through them. It tells you, all the little nitty-gritty details of this council. We have to abide by the Brown Act. So again, so this has to be a meeting that's open to the public. Public can attend. And we do have to, again, abide by the 72 hours in distributing the agenda, within or prior to that 72 hours. Again, main council quorum is 50% plus one. We have to make sure that we do have a majority in attendance if you're going to approve any actions. Committee quorum is the 25%, so it's not as high if you're at the standing committee level. Again, attendance policy, just a reminder, it is vitally important that you attend these meetings and that you maintain or stay, attend meetings, and so you aren't violating the attendance policy and the bylaws. We do have ethics training. This is a requirement for all community committee members that you need to take the AB 1234 ethics training. Again, this is only done, it's only done every 2 years in the even years. So hopefully everybody took it this last year in 2022. And if you're new and you're just starting, you'll need to take it this year. So any new members this coming 2023 year will need to take it to get in compliance. If you took it in 2022, you're good until 2024. So you won't need to worry about it until then.
And Aaron, that can be taken online, correct?
Yes, I believe
we'll get a link out to our new members so they can do that. I think it's a 2-hour window.
It's about 2 hours, yeah.
Yeah.
It's not real tough.
You just got to sit through 2 hours.
Yeah.
Joni, you have a question?
Charlene and I, who both took the ethics training last year, I'd just like to tell the people who are taking it for the first time, if you go through it too quickly and you finish before 2 hours, it will not accept you. So however long it takes you to do, make sure that your Zoom records it as you having been on for 2 hours. So if you're a fast reader or a fast answer, or you know the material already, it did require your full 2 hours of participation.
Yeah, thank you, Joni. I went through it fairly quick too. And I think if you go to a nice clip, you'll still get done within the time limit. Maybe 10, it took me like an hour and 45 minutes, but they pay attention that you're not just zipping through it and saying you did it. So it'll be the full two, but
they actually rejected ours. We had,
what time were you done?
I don't remember. It was a year ago, but it was well before the 2 hours.
Yeah. If it's well before it will get rejected. Yeah. I took it yesterday, by the way. And yeah, it's fairly simple.
Yeah. You can do, they'll offer supplemental training. I was done like, 4 minutes too short. So I was able to do supplemental training to get over the 2 hour mark. Yeah, you won't get your certificate if you don't hit the 2 hours.
Very good. Thanks, Ken, for sharing that. All right. Joni, you still have your hand up? Okay. I'm sorry, Aaron. Go ahead.
Okay. And there's also, we have a code of ethics form that we've asked that everybody sign as well. And then just a reminder, it was mentioned earlier at the beginning of the meeting by Carolyn.
Hey, Aaron, can I ask you a question on the code of ethics? Because that was an issue in our city. Is that mandatory to sign?
We have I'm going to punt that over to like Desiree, since I haven't been here the last couple years. We're still signing those, correct?
That's what I'm asking.
We'll confirm on that. Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, the expectation has been that we do have a separate code of ethics that we ask everybody.
Yes, we do, Erin.
Yeah, okay. and then, again, just a reminder to submit your monthly time reporting every month to Carolyn.
Could I ask a question about this, the time reporting? Is this like volunteer work that we're doing with seniors, or is this specifically with this council?
It's both, Ken. You can do it either through, like this meeting is going to count for 2 hours for that 8 that you have to have monthly, but you can do work in the community and that will count. So it's really up to you. Whatever time you take to deal with seniors, whether it's you're talking to your neighbor or talking to somebody in the community about it, what you're doing, or trying to find out, hey, what are the issues? That's all time that goes towards this.
Okay.
Okay. So I'm just going to, the rest of the presentation is just to touch base on kind of the Office on Aging, again, what we do, our structure, just to get start getting you, you know, if you're, especially if you're new and aren't familiar with our office, just to start getting you familiar with our program. So again, like I mentioned, the area Office on Aging is the designated area agency on aging for Orange County. Every area, every, you know, part of the country, part of the state has an office that covers your area. Again, where our office covers just Orange County. Other areas in the state may, one area agency on aging may cover five counties. It just depends on where you are, what the structure is in that particular area. But we have one county, one office for here. Again, we report to CDA, California Department on Aging. We serve as the lead advocate, systems planner, provide the services and programs that are funded through the state to the local community and this and our older adults. So we administer, like I said, federal, state, and local funding to provide these services. And we'd have both direct and indirect services. So we have either contracted or direct, and I'll touch base on those in a minute. So just to get the context of where the Office on Aging fits in the county, because the county's big. So we are under the OC Community Resources. And so as part of OC Community Resources, you've got OC Community Services, OC Parks, Housing and Community Development and the Housing Authority, OC Animal Care, and OC Public Libraries. So OC Community Resources kind of impacts a lot of the different services that you may use on a daily basis between the parks, libraries, you know, the shelter, and then community services, which then again is where Office on Aging is housed. And then you've got Veterans Service Office and the Workforce and Economic Development Division. So just to put in context, OC Community Services, so Renee Ramirez is our director. And then under her, this is where there's a couple staff that report directly to her and help with the administration across all three programs. So that's where Desiree and Jenna fit into the mix. And so as part of their role, they're covering, they're helping do all the administration, kind of all the back behind the scenes work with for SCAC. So that's kind of where they come into play. And then you've got the Office on Aging again and the three programs under community services.
Do you show where we fall under the county structure? Where does OC Community Resources fall under the county?
OC Community Resources could be kind of thought of as like a social services agency or healthcare agency, one of the big agencies.
But so is it under the umbrella of the county supervisors?
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. So we don't know where that falls under, which one or how that works.
What do you mean?
Okay. Well, community resources. Now, does that fall under the umbrella of a particular supervisor, or is it just all five of the supervisors?
Yeah, no. So you've got the board of supervisors, and then you've got like the CEO's office that really operates the county, right?
So right above this would be a link to the CEO's office.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So just to touch base on our Office on Aging. So you can see Claudia is our director, and she also oversees VSO as well. But just for the Office on Aging, you can see we've got all the managers that oversee. Many of us just have programs, particular programs that we manage. And then there's some other activities that are included in there. But I think now you've met everybody, or we've probably met everybody who are with managers with the office. And then we do have a support staff. So most managers have a support staff that helps manage the program or do provide assistance to whatever duties they might have, whether it's an area plan or data or, you know, just doing contracts and budgets. in addition to managing particular contracted programs.
So Pauline Colvin is ours, I see, right?
Yeah, so she now has SCAC listed under her. So she'll be certainly involved in ongoing work that SCAC does. Yeah.
And all those folks underneath are the support for all of these?
Yeah, so each, so we have support staff here under each manager. So you can see that.
Who's under us?
Nobody right now, but Pauline.
Good
will
question,
be
Jean. I've asked that question myself.
I might be able to help with that. No, that is an excellent question. You know, just throughout the pandemic, as you all are aware, lots of program opportunity and expansion of services, lots of different funding that has come down our way to support, and of course, at the state level, to support the Master Plan for Aging. So every opportunity that we look at to expand, and as you heard in a lot of introductions came from some of our newer managers. These are areas where we look at really expanding our Office on Aging and our infrastructure to be able to support all the initiatives, programs, and efforts that we need to achieve to prepare for our aging population moving forward. So at this time, no, yes, Pauline does not have a staff support under her. Pauline is new to our team, new as a manager on the Office of Aging. And as we move forward, those are some of the areas that we will continue to assess and evaluate any opportunity to provide a little bit more growth and increase our infrastructure moving forward. So is the reason why we don't have anyone. So Pauline's role is going to be evolving as we, engage definitely with our advisory council, with our local Orange County Master Plan on Aging, as we move forward to all the to-dos with our area plan and all the updates that we are required to do for California Department of Aging, and obviously engagement here at the local level. That will be evolving. So all I ask is for your grace, as Pauline and I are onboarding on the processes here in Orange County, but also really getting to know the community a little bit more. And this is where we'll be tapping into all of your expertise and for your respective communities as we move forward.
So if I understand this right, this is critical, Claudia. I want to make sure I'm on board with this.
Uh-huh.
So we're evaluating whether staff is needed to support Pauline at this point. Because I see there's another empty box that says vacant. So we're not even the vacant category. We're evaluating whether we even need anybody at all.
Correct. And always look at, any kind of funding source to be able to fund and sustain our positions as well. So that is always an ongoing effort here at the Office on Aging and under community services, where we need some growth and how can we financially then sustain our growth moving forward.
Is your budget through the county?
Most of our funding comes from the state and federal levels, and which is the funding that supports our staff. If there are any opportunities, those are those kind of evaluations that we then advocate to our county leaders to see if there are any need for infrastructure that might need to come from, let's say, the county level. So we'd have to follow those processes. But our first and foremost is looking at what programs, fundings, initiatives are available to us from the state and federal grants. So
that seems a little unusual to me. I'm sorry I'm taking so much time on here, but this is really needs clarification that even though we fall under as a branch of the county, our funding majority comes from the state?
Correct. Because we are service providers, correct? We are older adults. So a lot of our fundings for our programs, the majority comes from the Older Americans Act in California, Older Americans Act. So this is at the state and federal levels.
Interesting. Okay. Tony, I see you got your hand up.
Yes, I have two questions. One, I don't see the office, the veterans office. Is that no longer under
No, I mean, there's no change to, so if you go back here, Tony, we've got veterans.
Okay, I see that.
Be part of community OC community services. Yeah.
Okay. The second question is, I got my noted that newsletter from the retiring organization of the county. There was a Cheryl Smith. Is that the same Cheryl Smith that was director, past director of aging or community?
That was Erica, I believe. Erica Danzig?
No. Cheryl Smith. She was back about 10, more than 10. see, I've been retired.
It would have been active in about 20 years, yeah. At least.
Past 20 years, yeah.
I'm not sure who that is. So okay. It's been more than at least 10, 20, 25 yeah. years then, if it was
something. Yeah, I've been up more than 20 years.
So yeah.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. And Jean, just to remind you, staffing wise, Jenna and Desiree continue to provide the kind of the administrative and operational piece of SCAP. So that's not, none of that's changing. They're always there to provide.
Yeah, but that's been very limited, Aaron. That's part of the problem we have. Every time we ask for that, it's, well, we've got all these other things and, you know, you kind of get what's left. So I'll work with Pauline. We'll figure that out. We'll figure out what needs to get done and who's going to do it.
Great.
Of course, Zoom is built first and foremost for businesses and schools. And that means it has
David, do you have a question or are you just letting us share what you're hearing?
Sorry about that.
No problem.
Question. Well, I do have one. When Tony and I were chairs back in the day, there was a problem in the committees, not so much with, SCAC itself. And that was that people were going to various officials in cities usually and not following the rules. Some of them were actually promoting their own businesses. So my question,
you know, David, let's put that in the parking lot. We'll come back to that. I certainly understand the relevance of that.
Well, I have a point. I'll be really brief. Point to make. That has to be made clear to the members of the various committees who are not members of SCAC so we don't get in big trouble. Thank you.
That's not on the org chart here at this point, though. Go ahead, Aaron.
All right, thank you. Okay. So like we've already kind of Claudia pointed out already, most of our funding, most of our programs are funded by the federal government through the Older Americans Act. So a good portion of what we get is federal funding. That funding goes to the California Department on Aging. They do add state funding. And then over the last couple of years with COVID, there was a lot of additional state funding that has been added. And then we, through contracts with CDA, receive the money to provide the mandated programs at the local level. So really that's kind of just a quick overview of kind of where the money comes from. We contract out a lot of our programs. So again, from our office, we then have contracts with local nonprofits and public agencies out in the community to actually do the on the ground program implementation. Okay, so I'm just gonna touch base real briefly on the programs. Again, we have a Office on Aging 101 planned where in the future, we'll go into more depth with some of these programs so you can get a better feel for what they are. But in general, our big contracted programs are the nutrition programs. We've got supportive services, which helps support adult daycare, senior programs, case management, programs like that. We've got legal assistance funding. We receive and contract out the ombudsman program, which again is programs that kind of monitor what's happening in skilled nursing, assisted living facilities. One of our newer programs is CalFresh Expansion and Healthy Living. So you'll probably hear, I think you've started hearing some about that. Again, that's a contracted program. We have intergenerational activities that are coming. We're working on an RFP for that program. And just on the other flip side are, again, our direct programs that we provide out of our office. We have our health promotion with our health educator and the programs that he runs. Our biggest, again, we have some supportive services funding, which supports our call center. So again, you know, one of our other big in-house program is our call center. So we have our phone staff that can help provide resources and information for our callers. Again, do some outreach, community education. We also have the Aging and Disability Resource Connection, which is a partnership with Dale McIntosh. We have our technology programs that we've been promoting. Again, so then our other direct program is Senior, the Farmers Market Program, which over the years, many of you have helped us get those out. Some of our other contracted programs are Family Caregiver Support, Elder Abuse Prevention. We've got HICAP and the Medicare Counseling Program. What we call CSEP, which is Senior Employment Program. Again, parts of some of our technology funding and programs are done by contractors as well. So it's kind of split between what we do some in-house and we also contract some services out. We also have our Dignity at Home Fall Prevention Program. And then of course, one of our other big programs is Senior Non-Emergency Medical Transportation. So just again, you'll get more information in coming months and coming upcoming meetings that will delve more into more of what these programs are and who our contractors are. So that's what I have today. Again, just a reminder, information to reach our call center, which are the two numbers. And then you can always, you know, in general, anybody can reach us via email and then again, our website. Any other questions? I see we've got one question.
Yeah, Dave Wheeler. Dave?
Hi, just one question on the end of the thing there. And it deals with coordination. City of Laguna Hills provides services, actually like sort of like cab service for seniors to go different places, you know, in the city. And there are some extended places they can go to. What I'm wondering is, are these things coordinated with cities so that we can not duplicate process and get more bang for the buck? Or is that maybe a new idea to do?
I mean, coordinating a new idea.
No, I mean, coordinating that we provide the service as a city and maybe somebody else does too. Cause I saw that in the last bullet of the next to the last chart there.
Yeah. Aaron, you want to respond to that?
Well, I mean, there's, it depends on, I think a lot of it depends on funding and what the requirements are with the funding, what the intent of that transportation is. But I mean, there's always opportunities to collaborate, you know, make sure that, yeah, that things aren't being duplicated. Our transportation, the senior non-emergency is, you know, only, medical transportation. So okay. We are limited in that. So if the city can, you know, fill in a transportation need, you know, that's ideal, right?
Yeah, we are not limited to medical. We go, if they go shopping or if they want, we include going to the John Wayne Airport. Mm-hmm. I think we include going to neighboring cities to some degree. Yeah. So we include medical too. But we're
Yeah. A lot of the CMs probably, is it funded by OCTA?
Yeah, I would say, Dave, that you're hitting on a universal problem that we have discussed a lot in our group, and that's exactly that transportation. And generally, what you're going to find is usually Office on Aging is very limited in their funding, so it's not like they've got a lot of cash to do those kinds of things. So it does fall on the cities, and then the cities do it individually. So coordination among the other cities probably not happening. But it's nice to hear when one city is, and then we can take that back to our city and say, hey, they're doing it. What do you think? But that's not the way it's been going down right now. Okay. Claudia, I see you got your hand up.
Yes, thank you. I do want to add, because 100% of the funding for most of these programs come from the federal and state levels, the regulations of the Older American Act require that these services are go out via the request for proposal process to give everyone opportunities and equities to propose their programs. And so to answer Dave's question, whenever these programs are up or a new program comes up for us and we receive those grants, we are required to release our request for proposals for most of these programs. And at that moment in time is the opportunity. Now, whether you're a municipality, a nonprofit, senior center, community center, whatever that might look like, where you see you might have the opportunity to partake, to provide that service, it will be submitted as part of that request for proposals, right? And through that, then an evaluation process is in place, and we can definitely, I think, maybe looking at opportunities for future presentations. I believe someone made that request where they'd like to know a little bit more on individual programs and how does it all works and how does it all come together. And we definitely like to take all of these recommendations and comments back so that we can evaluate here with our team on future presentations for individual programs and how do we get involved. I believe in definitely that it does not take one agency, it takes a village, right, for us to represent our seniors and provide services to our seniors. And definitely our cities are wonderful partners that do provide services and can and may have the infrastructure to provide some of these services. But because the funds are coming from Older Americans Act, there is a process that we do have to follow, and we can definitely provide more information and education when these opportunities come up.
But Claudia, that's the Older Americans Act. How about going through the county, which is separate from that? Part of our job is to inform our supervisors on what the issues are. Mm-hmm. And if this were an issue, maybe they have another alternate way to go that we're not going through. I think all of us know the process going through the feds, the paperwork and the time it takes to do that. And the county is usually a little bit quicker in that regard. So that's just another option I would throw out.
Yeah, absolutely. These are those discussions and great opportunities for all of us to have, for us to receive your feedback and recommendations, and for us to look at every opportunity on taking that advocacy up the chain of command. So absolutely, thank you so much for that and bringing that to the table.
Erin, were you about done? Is that wrapping it up?
I have, I'm done with my presentation. So if, I mean, if there's any other additional questions.
Yes, Carolyn, I see your hand up, you're mute.
Okay, this piece of, am I doing this right? This piece of paper that has all the dates, can we get the 23 version of it? It has the this council at the top and then the three committees in the exec. I just want to get my calendar straight.
I emailed that to you also, Carolyn, when you asked me, and it's also posted. I was asked to post it in the box.
Yes, it is in the box.
And so that's there, and it's also on the website, but I can definitely send it to the group.
Yep, you did do that, Desiree. I got it. I know.
I'll go ahead and send it to the group either way so that everybody can have it in their email as well. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Okay, let's move on if there's no further comments on that. Good job. Thank you for that. It always helps to figure out where there's still a lot of questions that we're going to be looking at as far as like when we say with SCAC, it's you know, ear on the ground, you know, well, what does that mean? And how do we carry that out? What is our mission? So, well, these are topics down the road that we'll be discussing. And Meredith and I have been in deep discussion on that. So public comment, do we have any public comments at this time? Any members of the public wanting to weigh in?
We did not receive any requests in advance. There are members of the public present. If you would like to address the board, please use the hand raise icon or press *9 and I will unmute you. And seeing no hands, Chair.
Thank you. Did you get Laval Brewer also? He is.
I did.
Okay, good. All right, that goes to the chairman's items. Just a couple things on new business. One thing that we are going to do, and we won't, I'm just going to put the kernel to grow here. We're going to create a bylaws ad hoc committee. A lot of things that we want to do, every time we want to do it, is, well, the bylaws say this and bylaws say that. Well, we can change the bylaws. So I want a committee that's going to look at that, a core committee, to see, update it. Are we doing what it says we're supposed to be doing? Are we not doing that anymore? Do we not need to do it? Let's kind of take a look at that and then go through the, it's a pretty healthy process by which we change it, but we can do it. And it's not on a dime, as you can imagine, but we can do it. So Meredith is going to be chairing that, and we'll try to get probably no bigger than five. But so if four of you, if you have a real, if that's your interest, if that's in your wheelhouse where you like doing that kind of deep dive on our policies, please let me know so we can get you on that committee. Rachel, you got a question or a hand up? Your hand up, you'd like to do that. We'd love to have you do that. Thank you, Rachel. Appreciate that. So we still room for others. So if you guys, Rachel, did you have a question? Because your hand is up. Oh, there we go. Crystal, is that something you're, bailiwick?
Yep.
Excellent. Absolutely. That's excellent. Yeah, this is a detail-oriented, focused person, which is not me. So good. As we get more, please think about it. It shouldn't be real a heavy lift, and it's not a forever committee. We want to do this quicker rather than later. So, okay. And then also new business, as you noted, next month we'll be meeting at Easter Sales, 1063 McGaw, MCGAW Avenue in Irvine. Do we have any old business? Anybody got any old business for the group we haven't covered? Probably not, since we're such a new group now. And that's really a good thing, because we have the ability now to kind of create SCAC all over again. What do we want SCAC to do? And that's why we need this bylaws committee put together, because I don't want to keep bouncing into, well, you can't do that because the bylaws say this. Well, we create the bylaws for the most part. And there are some things that by law you can't do. In fact, speaking of which, you heard about the Brown Act. Brown Act's changed quite a bit too. So we probably could have a program on the Brown Act. So you guys all understand what that is. Yeah, I know it's not everybody's favorite, but it keeps us out of trouble and make sure you don't get indicted or go to prison. So that's always a good thing. And it's really hard for electeds. So trust me, this is a big deal. But it's good information. It's not a scary thing. The Brown Act merely means it's a transparency act the business of the people is done in front of the people. No more backroom, smoke-filled little closets where all kinds of things were done and you guys never heard about it, or the community never heard about it until we came out and said, here's what we're doing. That day is long gone. Okay, I think that's it for me. Office on Aging updates, Jeanette.
Hello, everyone.
I think already.
Yeah, I think we did most of them. I just wanted to update everyone and do a little plug. Anyone who's interested. First update that I want to share with everyone is that the one-time only funds were released by CDA for our regular Older Americans Act program. CDA usually releases this once a year, and these were like basically carryover funds that were not expended by the whole state last year. So that's going to help improve and expand some of our current programs, or our core group of programs right now. The second item that I want to update everyone on is the advanced OC contract was approved by the Board of Supervisors on January 10th. And this is a contract that will allow advanced OC to conduct the OC healthy aging assessment. And this will directly impact the local master plan for aging. So the board just approved that just this Tuesday, and I believe things are going to be underway pretty soon to start the healthy aging assessment, and it really will help shape our master plan moving forward. The last item that I would like to, before I proceed, Rachel, you have a question?
I do. So who is conducting that assessment? And how long do you expect it to take?
So it's actually going to be advanced OC, and then they're going to be working closely with the Master Plan on Aging Committee, which is spearheaded by the Social Services Agency. We are also a part of that committee. And I believe so far the timeline, I think those the soft timeline is they should have it done hopefully by September.
of this year.
And so, Jeannie, because I think that falls under Wellness Reimagined, is there a synopsis of what is being looked at so that we could review that in the Wellness Committee?
Sure, we can actually see if we can share the agenda staff report with everyone, or at least a summarized version of the agenda staff report, the Wellness Reimagined Committee. So Pauline and I will work on that. So
yeah, we haven't seen anything come out. As Jeanette said, the report just got approved by the Board of Supervisors last Tuesday. So we're still trying to figure out the details and the scope of work and everything that needs to be awarded or needs to be put together. And that will probably detail a lot of what this consultant has to do and what goes into the needs assessment. But we will need to meet with the rest of the agencies within the county that are involved in order to be able to identify that.
Very good.
Perfect. Thank you. The last thing that I want to share with everyone is that we also just released the request for proposals for the CalFresh Healthy Living Program, or formerly known as SNAP-ED, earlier this week. And this is kind of where the plug comes in. And I want to ask if one of you committee members might be able to join as an evaluator for this RFP. The evaluation is most likely going to happen in February. There is a small time commitment to it, and I can share the timeline. If you are interested, please feel free to let Desiree know, and I can reach out directly to you all, whoever might be interested, and provide you a snapshot of the timeline. And I believe John has a question.
Yes, he does. John?
Just a quick clarification. Will we be briefed on the local plans or the MPA at any time during 2023?
I believe we can make that happen.
Can you explain what the MPA is, please?
Sure. So the master plan. Oh, yeah. So the master.
Yeah, I know everybody keeps asking about when we use these acronyms.
Acronyms, yeah. So the master plan for aging. A few years ago, Governor Newsom actually released an executive order to basically form a master plan for aging for the state of California. And this would be, I think, the roadmap for everything related to do with aging for the next 10 years. And we have, I think, each county, if I'm not mistaken, each county on their own, or some planning and service areas, which can be like a conglomeration several counties, which, you know, for us, luckily we're standalone, we're by ourselves. We actually started local efforts to start mirroring the master plan on aging. There are 5 bold goals for the master plan on aging at the state level, and we intend to mirror that at the local level so that we can also have a roadmap moving forward to address the needs and the ever-growing needs for the aging population. And to answer your question, John, we can definitely take that back to the Master Plan for Aging Committee, the local one, and we can request, once we have a little bit more robust information to share with a group, we would love to do that. We would love to share it. I think, you know, this is a really good platform to share the efforts that we're doing so that this council can also support the local efforts for the Master Plan for Aging. Sorry, you also have another question?
Good explanation, Joyce. Thank you. And I understand CDA is going to begin to monitor local plans in 2023 as well. So that's my understanding. Okay, my understanding could be way off, but a heads up. That's what I'm hearing.
Oh, thank you for letting us know. Yeah, no, I heard CDA actually is really getting into supporting the local efforts. So, you know, I know they just released information not too long ago that they might open up some requests for application for any local communities or local counties to apply to help the Master Plan for Aging efforts.
Rachel, you have a question?
Oh, sorry.
I do. John? Yeah.
Just one other bit of information. January 20th. Is the 2023 MPA update that will be a virtual meeting coordinated by CDA. Anyone is invited to participate in that virtually.
If we get the links to that, we'll have Desiree put that out to our group.
A jumping off point.
Yeah, we'll get have Desiree put the link out to our group.
Thank you, John. So go ahead, Rachel.
Yeah, so where is the RFP posted?
The RFP is posted in BidSync right now, but I can actually, so if you have a BidSync login, you're able to view it. But if like I said, if anyone is interested in becoming a panel member for it, I do want to thank Barbara. I know Barbara helped us out with a different RFP, so I appreciate that assistance. So if we are looking, we're always looking for members for any evaluation panel we have for the RFP. So if you're interested, please let us know.
John, you still have a question?
I'm sorry, Jane. I'm slow on the takedown of the hand today.
Thank you, Chair. I appreciate it.
All righty. Good. Thank you for that update. We appreciate it. Okay, standing committee reports. And again, another area that we'll be evaluating, the standing committee. So, yes, Dave.
Before you go into this, I'd like to ask a favor.
Sure.
Since several people are new, including me, I would like to ask maybe of the 2 minutes if each committee would give a real brief, maybe 20 seconds of what they're, what they do.
Okay, as we get into our standing committee reports, we will do exactly that. We have three right now, and well being reimagined. Rachel, you want to do that one?
Do I want to jump in? So
well, will you do that one?
Yes, I have just agreed with Barbara and Jane to take on the chair of that particular committee. So Dave, in answer to your question, our next meeting is on the 18th, and our focus for that meeting is going to be to look at the number two goal from the governor's master plan on aging, which is Health Reimagined. And the state has five different areas of concern or of focus there. And we need, as a committee, to review those and then take a look at what we would like to champion at the committee level. And as John just pointed out, I too will be joining that master plan on aging update on the 20th.
Very good.
If you want to serve on the committee, Dave, we're glad to have you.
I think he's trying to evaluate which committee he wants to serve on. So, all right. Anything else, Rachel?
Dave, it might be useful for you to get a copy of the Master Plan on Aging because that will help you see what the state's focusing on.
And okay. We can get that to you, Dave.
I'd appreciate that. Yeah, for example, my background is heavily technology and science, and my dad was a handicap. So those two aspects, I think I could add a lot to any committee that deals with those two things.
You can. You need to hook up with Dave Tetzloff. He's one of our IT guys on this committee. All right, let's go with Crystal Miles on housing and transportation. Crystal?
Hi, thank you. Welcome to all the new members. And I want to say nice to meet some of the new members that I had met. I've been on this committee, been in SCAC for 3 years, but just recently took over as chair of housing and transportation. So we met yesterday, basically did an introduction, both of myself and some of the new members. Definitely looking forward to having anybody join. My goal for this coming year is how, of course, along with the general plan, is how we can be advocates for seniors with respect to transportation and housing. And I was quite humbled by the extraordinary individuals that are on this committee and definitely looking forward to tapping their brains and resources for sure. We got to meet one of the liaisons from the Office on Aging, Elizabeth Fryer, who is our liaison. And Farah was so gracious to come on as well and give us a little brief introduction of Ms. Fryer, and really looking forward to working with everyone. And because it's my first chair of this committee, definitely open to communication, criticism, collaboration, and how we can make sure that we recognize, address, and discuss issues relating to seniors and the transportation and housing issues. And that was it.
Thank you, Crystal. That's very thorough, and I appreciate that. And by the way, this is a senior group, so criticism comes naturally. I don't think you need to worry about that coming forward. Senior Citizens Engagement Committee. I can't recall if we got a chair for that yet. Do we have a chair for that, Desiree?
No, not yet.
Okay. Oh, I saw John Pointer on the agenda.
He's standing for the month of February, I believe. Okay.
John, anything you want to comment on there?
Yes, thank you, Gene. I've got my tap dance shoes on here real quick. The Senior Citizen Engagement Committee, Evelyn, please feel free to chime in as well when I go astray, is formally the Ledge Committee for the organization. Our meeting is January 23rd. And our guest speaker will be California Senior Legislator, Senior Assembly Member Mark Cox, speaking to AP4, which is the issue of grandparents and grandchildren. What we're attempting to do with this legislative proposal that has been picked up is ask for a study to be conducted on the issue. Our concern is that we believe 25% or more of K through 12 children are being parented by their grandparents, which if you are economically able to, you can afford to either achieve guardianship or adoption. If you are not, you're simply being asked as the grandparent to absorb them into your family. So it should be a very interesting presentation. I hope you'll find some time to be able to join us. Thank you, Gene.
Thank you, John. Appreciate that. And Evelyn, anything you want to add? You chaired that in the past. It's much more than legislative, though. We need to make sure we're clear on that.
Yes, I just want to say that last year, the committee selected two major points of focus. One was the closing the digital divide. And for that, there is a representative. And the other one is really dealing with elder abuse. And we have been working to try to identify exactly what that means, because I mean, none of us have been directly exposed. So, except to financial abuse, probably. So trying to figure out the scope of it, there's been a lot of self-education.
Thank you, Evelyn. And for our newer folks, what we've done, the transition we're in now is we're getting our committees to more line up with the Master Plan on Aging so that our focuses are directly in line with that. So we're all on the same plane. And that's why it seems a little sketchy right now. That's because that's what we're doing. We're trying to make sure that these are all lining up together. So very good. Thank you, colleagues, on that. I appreciate that. And now with that, let's go to Senior Liaison Coordinator Carolyn. You got anything you want to add with CSL?
There'll be a full overview of the current status of the 10 legislative proposals that CSL adopted in October 2022. I believe this is correct. Sorry, I'm going from memory. Six have been picked up as bills. Correct, six. So we'll provide an update at that time.
Okay, very good, John. Thank you. Unfortunately, our presentation schedule coordinator is Meredith Chalmers, our vice chair, and she's not here right now. So we will get that to you. We try to lay out Carolyn's raised her hand. Maybe she can help out here.
Okay. What I did for the rest of the year is I've assigned people, I do this part and Meredith does getting the speaker, et cetera, but assign people to do the pledge and the inspiration. And it's, I'm going to have somebody send you the list of what your assignment is. And let me know if you really can't do it, but honestly, you know, do it, please. And then we will know. And then when the agenda comes out, the names will be from this list. So we'll be sending you that very soon.
Thank you. Okay. So Pauline, when you hear somebody will do this, that's what we're talking about. Our staff support, if we can get it. I know we tried in the past, we really tried to do that with just our volunteers, but as with volunteers, it doesn't get done always.
Understood. Just send it my way. I'd be happy to send it out.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
The other thing too, is that like, I wouldn't mind sending it out, but you get into some Brown Act, you know, territory if we send to everybody.
That's correct. That is absolutely correct.
So that's why we can't do it, because I would send it out.
No, you know, that is anyway. A Brown Act violation. Yeah. Crystal, I see your hand up. You want to jump in on this?
Well, sorry, not specifically on this, but only because I thought we were still on agenda item number 12 with the senior citizen liaisons, but I can wait.
No, I think we're done with this. Carolyn, unless you had anything more on that?
No, Evelyn is going to be in charge of that. And she and I apologize for not answering you, Evelyn, but it's been crazy and no computer and, you know, a lot of problems technically over here. But we're going to be meeting, and I'm turning this stuff over to her, and then she will be the chair from now on.
So, yeah, this Brown Act thing, the Brown Act law, really complicates our ability how we communicate with each other.
Right.
And so hopefully we'll get this ferreted out, especially with Evelyn taking care of that. So, and just the bottom line is, when you send an email out, we have a problem. If it's informational issue, but if you have just a thought or opinion and you can't send that to everybody. So anyway, that's how that goes down. Crystal, yes.
Okay. So thank you. So one of the things I just wanted to touch on, and it might answer actually Ken's question from earlier, because for the new people, when you are, one of our roles, one of our jobs is to make sure we communicate with the senior centers that we are assigned to, that Evelyn will either be adjusting or reassigning or whatever, but each of us will have senior centers throughout the county, throughout the area that we are assigned to. And it's really important that anything that you learn in your committee or on this particular general meeting gets shared with the community centers that you are assigned to. And you'll periodically get information. Perhaps there's a Zoom of something, or, you know, we have a lot of people that have resources on this panel that will send out, hey, there's a talk on this, or there's a speaker on this, and it's encouraged to send that out. So Ken, anytime you're doing that, communicating to, you know, if you're an elected during your city council meetings to your public, and or if you're sending emails to some of your representatives at the community centers, that counts as time towards your 8-hour volunteer requirement.
That's correct.
That was it. Thank you.
Oh, thank you, Chris, for that clarification. Dave, go ahead.
Just a comment on communication. Does this committee have any equivalent of like a city manager or legal that can send stuff out to everybody?
No.
Okay.
What we use, we're under Office on Aging, so that'll be under Pauline's silo.
Okay. Since we don't have that, then maybe if we send stuff out, just send it out to everybody, but also make it public. Then everybody sees it and the public has access to it, just like
we shouldn't be sending out. Pauline and her group will send out what we need to out, unless something specific to a committee that I'm communicating with.
Oh yeah, that's what I mean. You know, I wouldn't want to send it out to everybody, but yeah, I have the appropriate person send it out, but make it public so everybody can actually get it and be communicated with.
Yes, thank you, Dave. And we are very open to the public. We want public to attend, actually. And give us those inputs. You know, I was remiss in mentioning that the upcoming standing committees, once we get into February, those will be in-person meetings. They won't be, all our standing committee meetings will not be in person, and they will not meet at Easter Shields. They will meet at where we used to meet, at the county facility on Grand. So that's where all the standing committees will meet. So when you're having, in February, when you're having that meeting, that's where you'll be going to. And make sure we get that information out to everyone, the address. What is that, 700 South Grand? Is that, my memory served me? I think it's 700 South Grand.
1300.
13. I was just going to say that or 1300.
That was close.
That's why I'm on that senior advisory council, because I'm a senior with that kind of memory. Okay. I think that concludes our business. Unless members, anyone else have anything they would like to add or chime in? I see two hands going up. Let's go with Charlene and then Joni.
Thank you very much, Gene. I want to welcome all of the new members. I want to welcome staff. And I'd also like to acknowledge the committee members who have stepped up to be chairs, and also to you, Gene. You run a tight ship, and I appreciate your leadership. Thank you.
Thank you. Sometimes it's like herding turtles, but we get there. Joni?
I know we don't have a show and tell part of the class, but I'd like to offer something that I just came across this week. I may be the last person on this committee who even knows about it. This particular magazine called Answers.
Now, I got a copy of that too, Joni. I wonder where it came from.
I'm keeping it at my front door. I've already answered phone calls and carry it with me on Meals on Wheels. And I wanted to say, since I don't have a copy to loan, I found out that it is available online at www.coasc.org.
How did we get that sent to us? Do you know where that came from?
I don't know. It was like manna from heaven, and it's just been marvelous, and I don't know anybody else.
Oh, I think Denise Barnes has an answer for us. Denise?
Okay.
Yes, Jean. I picked him up at the Office on Aging. Vin Tran. Vin Tran collected about 150 for our Anaheim Community Center. So you're the catalyst to get it out to your community. So I just call and I'll have some ready for you.
Excellent. That's outstanding. Okay.
So could you repeat how I obtain it? I'm not understanding where I go to.
Okay. Hang on just a minute with that, Joni. Jeanette, I think she's going to answer that.
Hello, everyone. It's me again. I want to let everyone know that this is actually a publication that is from the Council on Aging Southern California, one of our biggest providers. And for this edition in particular, we actually funded part of it with the vaccine expansion dollars. So the Office on Aging have multiple copies of this. Please feel free to let us know if you need a copy. We can definitely, there you go, Joni. Yeah, we can definitely help provide you with a copy of that. If you could just share if you could give us a list of anyone and everyone who wants a copy of this, we can definitely help out with that.
Is this something, Jeanette, that we can subscribe to and get it sent to our home?
I believe so. Yes. But it's going to be with the directly with Council on Aging Southern California.
Yeah, that's fine. Go through you. I prefer just we get subscribed to it. And we get it.
Yes.
It's a very good magazine, by the way.
Yeah. Good. So there are years that they have gone digital, and there are years that they've gone with the hard copy. So
yeah. Right, I now prefer this the year, hard copy. I'm not a digital
available.
Fan, but
yeah. Everything's available in both formats.
I need to touch things. Okay. Sandy, did I see your hand up there for a second, or was that just a change of mind?
Yes. I volunteered for the that group that she was just talking about, and they don't mail them out. You can pick them up at their office. And it's a good thing to go pick a bunch up and take them to your senior centers. And they publish that every year. And they pay for the majority of the magazine. There are a lot
I don't understand why they don't mail it out. To me, it just seems very cumbersome to force people to come in and pick up a hard copy.
I don't think they have the money for it.
Oh, it always comes down to that root of all evil. Okay. Well, there you have it, folks. If you have the time, energy, and enthusiasm, you can go down to Santa Ana on Grand 1700 or 1300 and pick up a copy from the office there.
Gene?
Yes. Go ahead, Patty.
This is Patty. I have about 500 copies in my possession at the moment, and I will be happy to bring some to our next in-person meeting.
Perfect, Patty. Excellent. And maybe we can just kind of do that periodically every meeting we have, that somebody takes that on as bringing those in. That would be great.
Sure. Jean, did I understand that it's only that it's an annual publication?
Yeah.
It's annual. Okay.
And all the senior centers have them. So you don't have to go to Council on Aging in Irvine to get it. You can go to your local senior center and they will have multiple copies available as well.
I'm sorry, I had a doctor's appointment. They just called me. Patty?
All the senior centers have copies available to hand out.
Good, good. I'll have to check with ours. I'm going to do a field study and see if that's the case. I'll go to ours and see if out in the outlands of Yorba Linda we received it. So, Evelyn, did I see your hand up?
I already got my question answered. An annual publication, not monthly.
Annual. Oh, I must have missed that. Rachel, go ahead. Okay. I'm sorry, Patty, are you done?
Yes, sir.
Rachel.
Okay. So as we're reformatting these standing committees, how are we going to get an update as to who has agreed to participate on a committee?
Well, the committees will be where the nucleus of where this is going to occur. So your committee will have this discussion with yours, with all the various committees. And then those that are present say, okay, sounds good to me. I want to be part of that. Or no, I don't. Really, it's going to be up to you to be identifying and defining what it is and how you do it. I don't want to put the cart before the horse. We've got to make sure that we get our bylaws in order that we're going to be on solid ground to do this.
Okay, so I don't want to assume, but since people know when those next committee meetings are,
business as usual.
They have to choose to connect into that meeting in order to make that decision. Fine, that works for me. Thank you.
Can I ask a favor, please?
Patty, yes.
It would be really helpful to get a 2023 schedule of meetings for both SCAC and for each of the subcommittees.
Absolutely. And we were going to do that. The only reason we haven't yet is because we were still in the midst of redefining what our committees are, what they do, and how many we need. That's why that hadn't come out yet. But yes, you will absolutely get that.
Thank you.
Okay, well, with that, I think we've covered everything. I know you've confused me enough. So let's go to our next SCAC meeting will be February 10th at 9:30, and that will be at Easter Seals. And then the upcoming standing committees, January 18th at 1 p.m. is Wellbeing Reimagined. January 23rd, 9:30, Senior Citizens Engagement Committee. And then February 9th, 9:30, Housing and Transportation. So the two January ones will be Zoomed. The February one, I believe, is going to be in person. Patty, you still have your hand up. Is there a question?
Oh, no, I'm sorry. I just have I can't figure out how to take it down.
See, go to where it says raised hand. If you clip that, then it'll say lower hand.
Okay.
Excellent. Okay, unless there's anything else, we will see you February 10th. Have a wonderful weekend, you guys. Stay warm and dry. Next week, I think we get rain or heat. I'm not sure which, but we're in some definitely interesting climactic times. So, okay, take care, everyone.
Bye.
Thank you.